on the topic of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, the last time we ended, I told you Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit in the book of John chapter number 14. And there he said that the Holy Spirit will be your helper. Let's go to John chapter number 14. And John chapter number 14. So we have already covered verses 15, 16 and 17. So I have explained all the verses, all the things about the Holy Spirit that Jesus taught in 15, 16 and 17. That was the introduction of the Holy Spirit. Okay, not going into that. Again, it was the requirement. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments and I will pray. That is the context. That is the requirement that you love the Lord by keeping his commandments to receive the Holy Spirit. That is a requirement. So we already spoke about that. And then in verse number 26, Jesus said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, he said, will help us. He is the helper whom the Father will send in my name. This Holy Spirit, he will help us by manifesting as the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth. So I spoke about the Spirit of grace and how the Holy Spirit, how he offers help to Christians by manifesting as the Spirit of grace. One of the things that I love about the Holy Spirit, that he is more powerful than the strength of sin. That is what amazes me, and I love that characteristics, that characteristic of the Holy Spirit, that he is more powerful than the strength of sin that takes me away from God. Sin that disconnects me from God. I have a helper. I have a person who can give me help, who can give me power to overcome the power of sin in my life so that I can stay connected to God. Spirit of grace, we saw that, is more powerful and higher than the power and the strength of sin. So, and then we saw how he offers help to those who are humble before the Lord. Hallelujah. So we saw how he brought the Spirit of grace, salvation to us. Because without the Spirit of grace, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, by grace we are saved through faith and not of our own works. So without him, we cannot even understand Jesus. We received this Jesus, hallelujah, whom we did not even see. We received him because the Holy Spirit made Jesus real in our hearts, in our spirits. And then we confessed, yes, this Jesus is Lord. Did anyone see Jesus and believed in him? Or you just believed because you heard a message? You heard about him. Hallelujah. No, you did not see him. Like Thomas, he was doubting. Oh, no. When he comes and I see, I can put my hands in his, in the pierced part of his hand and of his side, then I will believe that he has resurrected. He has come back. And then Jesus came and told Thomas, okay, put your finger in the holes of my hand and at my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. But blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. How can you believe without seeing? By the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of grace. That's how you believe without seeing. Hallelujah. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. How can we have faith? By the Spirit of grace. By the Spirit of grace. Until the Spirit of grace starts to, the Holy Spirit, he starts to make Jesus the reality in our hearts, we cannot confess Jesus. No one can accept Jesus by a By just a message from a person. The Holy Spirit has to be in the message, convicting the person's heart and making the message real in that person's heart so that the person will receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I remember this evangelist who said that the gospel is like glove, the hand glove. But the real hand inside the glove is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes and convicts the hearts of people when the gospel is preached. That's why Apostle Paul says in the book of 1 Thessalonians that we preach the gospel to you, which came to you in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in conviction. Amen. Are we understanding? This group is I think it's going to sleep. Say hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Come on. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on. So, amen. Other people, remove your mute and say hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. So, I have to do such things in between. So, ensure that people, you know, because the spirit of the age is working in the Christians nowadays and attacking them, not allowing them to read the word, concentrate on God's word, and many Christians are becoming victims. You got to have the fire burning, okay? Listen to me. Hallelujah. The presence of God is already here. The Holy Spirit is already here. Sometimes, you know, we say we don't feel Him. Oh, I don't feel Him. I am feeling sleepy. I am feeling tired. I am feeling headache. I am feeling pain here. I am feeling pain there. By our own consciousness of the flesh, we ignore His presence. Because you know what the truth is? The truth is He is always with us. Hallelujah. Then that means even in the times where my flesh does not make me feel that He is with me, but the truth is He is always with us. Always with us. So we need to have that truth convicted in our hearts, in our consciousness, in our spirit man, that the Holy Spirit is always dwelling in me. That is how you will be able to overcome every situation of your life. Hallelujah. That is how you will be able to stay on track. That is how you will be able to stay disciplined in the kingdom of God, in the things of God, in your devotion towards God. Disciplined, consistent, persistent. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So listen to me. He is the one who makes the gospel the power, the Holy Spirit. He is the one who makes the gospel the power and makes Jesus real in the hearts of people. We cannot preach the gospel without the Holy Spirit. We cannot preach the gospel. The gospel could not have, the gospel ministry, the work of the gospel would not have existed without Him. It never would have existed without Him, because we will come to that. The spirit of truth is also the spirit of truth is also the witness. Hallelujah. Is also the witness that brings witness of Jesus to the hearts of people. So we saw that the Holy Spirit, without Him, salvation would not have had occurred. I gave you the scripture. Then we saw that the Spirit of grace gives us power when we are weak. The thing is, we concentrate on our weakness. We concentrate, oh, how much pain, I don't think it will go. But we don't understand, greater is He who is in us, the Spirit of grace, who gives us the strength in weaknesses. Hallelujah. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I will not take the thorn away. My grace has been given to you, the spirit of grace. He will give you the grace. And the more you become weak, the more He will become powerful in you. That is the secret to power. That is the secret to power. Genuine power I am talking about. Not manipulative power that nowadays many people are operating in. Genuine power is when a person is weak. Most of the letters of Apostle Paul, filled with revelations, came out from the dungeons and from the prison when he was in the shackles and the chains. There he wrote the greatest revelations of his life. I don't know if anyone knows about John Bunyan. John Bunyan. He was a man of God. And this man never ministered. I don't know. I'm not sure. But as far as I know, he was in the prison. He was in the jail. He did not have a pulpit. But in that prison, he wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. I read that book 4 to 5 times. Pilgrim's Progress. And that book became one of the best-selling book in the whole world. That book even is after the Bible, one of the best-selling book. I have read that book. It's kind of a very simple revelation, a story, a vision that he describes, but yet very profound, very powerful. He wrote that revelation in a dungeon, in the jail, where he was in a place of weakness. From there, he wrote that book. Amen. Psalm chapter number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He shall make me lie down in green pastures. But you have to understand the context. The context was that David was in the valley of death. David was surrounded by the enemy at that time. But in that place, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, who made him, who, and hallelujah. What happened to him that he started to see the Lord as his shepherd? It was the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that gave him grace in the weakness, in the place of weakness when he was going through trials. Amen. A Christian cannot be depressed. Christians cannot go and hang himself suicide when he is going through trials. No, you will come out stronger through trials because the Holy Spirit gives you more grace in those trials, more grace in your trials. He makes your life a testimony. Amen. The Bible says we shall defeat the devil. We shall defeat Satan with what? With the word of our testimony. If we cannot endure trials and go through tribulation with the help of the Spirit of grace, how can God make us a testimony? How can we have the word of our testimony? Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace that gives us power in our weaknesses. Can we go ahead? John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Verse number 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What he will do? He will teach you all things. Let us go to the next characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. The Helper offers us help by manifesting as the Spirit of grace, and the Helper offers us help by manifesting as the Spirit of truth. Everyone say the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Okay? So he,
the Spirit of truth.
Yes. So he will teach you all things. So Jesus is saying, so let us now meditate on John chapter number 14, verse number 26. Jesus is saying, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Okay, we need to meditate on this word. First of all, the Spirit of truth, the first help that the Spirit of truth will offer to you is what is teaching you. Okay, he will teach you. What he will teach you? All things. What are all things now? All things means what? History, geography? Is Jesus speaking about that? No, he's not speaking about things. Those things. What is all things? The all things are the deep things of God. Are you with me, people of God? The all things are the deep things of God. Now, let me take you to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 7. but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has prepared for those who love him, that he wants to teach us. He wants to teach you the all things. He will teach you what? All things. I will come to all things. Verse number 10 is the all things. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. Which things? The things that have not entered the heart of men. The thing that no eye has seen. The things that no ears have heard. Those are the things what God has done. He has revealed them through the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, before Jesus, there was so many mysteries that were hidden. The revelation of those mysteries, those all things, could only be revealed by God through whom? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was made the teacher of all things. The all things are the deep things of God. Verse number 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God is the all things that He will teach you. Amen. The deep things of God is the all things. Now the Bible says the Holy Spirit searches all things. What? For the Spirit searches all things. How can He teach you? This teacher, the Spirit of truth, is first what? He will teach you all things. Remember that. The first help that He will offer to you, that what? He will teach you. He will teach you all things. Now, how can this teacher teach you all the things? Which things? That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and not never it has entered the hearts of men. Whichever Bible college you go, or whichever PhD college you go in science, you go in whatever field, and you do your graduation, you do your post-graduation, you do your PhD, but you will never be able to learn the things of God, the all things, apart from the Holy Spirit. What you will have is worldly knowledge, the knowledge of the world. But if you want to tap into the all things that are the mysteries of God, the Holy Spirit alone can teach you. The Holy Spirit alone can teach you. Amen. Are we understanding? Now He can teach us all things because He was there from eternity with the Ancient of Days. You have to understand the revelation of the Trinity. Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed from eternity. It was not only the Father, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This triune God, this Trinity existed before, you know, from all eternity. There was no one that created them. So this Spirit of God was there with the Father, with the Ancient of days. And this, the Holy Spirit is the one who transfers the wisdom of the Ancient of Days to the hearts of people. He transfers the mind of God of the Ancient of Days, the wisdom of Most High of the Ancient of Days to the hearts of people. By the way, do you know that the devil is not afraid of anointing? The devil is not afraid of power. The devil is not afraid of your gifts to heal, to prophesy. He's not afraid of any of those things, but he is afraid of a man who carries wisdom. Amen. So listen to me. Yes, he's not afraid of anointing. He's not afraid of anointing. What he is afraid of is the all things of God. The person who has the knowledge, who has the understanding of the all things of God, because that wisdom, that mystery, if a person has upon his head, hallelujah, he can fool the devil. They can fool the devil. That is what the Bible is saying. You know, I have explained these things, but let me go again, because we have to understand what is the Holy Spirit teaching us, the Spirit of truth. When Jesus says the spirit of truth will teach you all things. What are the all things he will teach us? Hallelujah. Many people think, oh, I want to be a beautician, so he will teach me the beauty course. No, that is not what Jesus is talking about. He will teach you all things. He will teach you the mystery of God, the wisdom of God hidden in a mystery. That is what he will teach you. The wisdom of God hidden in a mystery. It says that the rulers of darkness did not even know. Hallelujah. You are a man or a woman of power when you are doing things and the devil has no idea what you are doing. Listen to me very carefully. You know the greatest danger of a witch is if someone sees what the witch is doing, the witch's work and power is over. If someone, a heathen, comes to know what she is doing. That is how power operates in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. A person remains powerful as long as the things that he is doing are hidden from the enemy. Hidden, I mean to say, not the enemy cannot see. The enemy can see, but the enemy is not able to interpret and comprehend the impact or the result or the intention of what this person is doing. When that happens, you have already defeated the devil. That is the mystery and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit can teach you. That you start to operate in a realm, you start to operate in a dimension, your prayers become so powerful that the demons have no clue what this man is going to do. The demons are making a search. What can we prepare? If they prepare plan A against you, hallelujah. Okay, we think this is how it is going to impact us. So let us do a plan A and defeat them. The plan A is not going to work. That is what the devil was the one who put Jesus on the cross. Do you know that? The devil was the one who instigated the Pharisees to put Jesus on the cross. Not knowing that he is becoming a part in fulfilling the salvation plan of God Most High to save the mankind. That, are you understanding? Hallelujah. So, you are becoming a threat. Like Jesus was a threat. He was casting out the devils. He was casting out demons. And the devil thought, you know, when he was on the Passover, when he was entering the city on the donkey, everyone was praising Jesus with the branches of the tree in their hand, and they shouted that the king has arrived. Hallelujah. The king has arrived. Zion, your king is coming to you, riding on a young donkey. And then the Pharisees heard it. And the Pharisees said, it was not the Pharisees, the devil was speaking through them. They said, if we allow this Jesus to continue like this, he will win the whole world. So let us kill him. Let us crucify him. They did not know the plan of Jesus was not preaching the gospel and winning the whole world. But the plan of Jesus was to die on the cross and to win the whole world. So they could not comprehend which plan to use against this man. They could not interpret what kind of attack to use. So when you operate in a mystery, the devil might think, oh, we have killed him, but there you resurrect again. The devil might think, oh, yeah, he has gone to the grave. Everything has ended. But from there, you come out again. The hand of the Lord lifts you up because you operated in the wisdom. Hallelujah. The presence of God is so heavy here, you know, even as I'm teaching this. I pray that people will be able to connect to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Are we understanding? That is what the Holy Spirit, powerful things he will teach you. Powerful. He is the teacher of all things. These are the things. He's not talking about cricket. He's not talking about football. He's talking about the wisdom of God. The devil will not be able to comprehend what to use against you to bring you down. He will not be able to do that. Amen. Let me read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 10. Very important verse. Let me read that again slowly. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. What He has revealed? Those things. Though no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither it has entered the heart of men. He has revealed those things through whom? Through the Holy Spirit. That means He has made the Holy Spirit the teacher of those things. And that is what Jesus is telling here. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, He will teach you what? All those things. Which things? These things. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Are we understanding the all things? These are the all things, which are also called in this verse, verse number 10, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. When I started, I did not know the deep things of God. I thought, oh, I will be under a pastor and I will be in a church and I will do ministry, I will evangelize. But when I started to seek him, he started to teach me. And then he started to teach me the deep things of God. I realized that what he is teaching me are mysteries. Mysteries that if a man knows, will have a consistent life of victory over the enemy. I don't remember last time when I cried because of my situation. I never cried. I don't remember last time when I got depressed because of the pressure. I never got depressed. I'm telling you the truth. I don't remember. I don't remember last time when I went into the corner weeping, not knowing what will happen tomorrow. I don't remember, because the Holy, I understood mysteries. I understood mysteries. I understood, even if there is a casting down, a lifting up is coming for me. I understood those things. Amen. For me to live a consistent, victorious life. Hallelujah. Going on the cross for Jesus, taking the pathway of the cross was very painful. But he never fell into depression, because he understood that even when there is a casting down, there is a lifting up that is coming for him. After 3 days, he will rise up. Hallelujah. A godly man who lives in the Spirit of God understands that death has no power over his life and body. Jesus did not had any fear of death. By his power, he defeated death. Hallelujah. If you know that you are going to die terribly, you know, you will be depressed. But Jesus was not depressed, because he knew that death has no power over his spirit. A man or a woman who lives in the Spirit lives without fear. People of God, I'm telling you frankly, I don't remember the last time when I was struck with the spirit of fear. I don't remember. I'm not boasting about my life, but I am telling you, it is because I received the knowledge from the teacher. I received the wisdom from the teacher. And even when there is a casting down in my life, I never worry, because I know I am operating by the wisdom of the Ancient of Days, which has been taught to me by the teacher. And he is the Holy Spirit. He taught me. Hallelujah. Amen. So I am not moved by anything, because I understand, not all, but he started to teach me mysteries. He did not put me on the pulpit to preach to 1,000 people, but he said, stay in my presence, spend days in fasting, spend days in isolation. And then when I started to do that, he started to teach me mysteries. He started to teach me wisdom. Hallelujah. The the power, the wisdom that you need to, defeat the devil, to consistently live a life of victory, will not come by ministering on the pulpit. It will come when you stay hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Nowadays, people are surrounded with fears, insecurities, doubts. People, you know, a little bit pain in the throat. Oh, I think I got COVID. Oh, I have to do this test. I have to go there. Oh, I think, then they search out the symptoms on the Google search or on their internet. Okay, I got a pain in the throat. What are the other symptoms? It may be COVID. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Christians are living a defeated life because the teacher is not teaching. They are not receiving. The teacher will teach, but they are not understanding the spirit of truth teaches all things. Teaches all things. If anything happens to me, the first thing I will not go to the doctor. The first thing I will not take medicine. The first thing I will pray, Re Zakiya Basaltaya, Lord, show me from where did it come. And when I say that, Father in the name of Jesus, when we say Father in the name of Jesus, you don't even know what you are doing. The realms of heaven are opening to you. That is what is happening. If you say now, Father in the name of Jesus, the realms of heaven are opening like this. It's opening. It's opening for you. But you know, prayer is not revelation for us. Prayer is a tradition for us. So we say, oh Father, we come to you, Lord. And then we are praying also, and we are thinking also. We are praying also. We don't understand things that are happening. When we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, the realms of heaven are opening, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes. If I am sick, I start to make a search. I don't take medicine. I don't go to the doctor. I start to make a search. If anyone in my family is sick, I start to make a search. Reza katara yala baso toro. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. What is the cause? And then, what does the Bible say? Verse number 10. The Spirit starts to search all things. And then it brings out something. That is the root cause from where the sickness came. No, Christians don't do that nowadays. Christians will do, oh, I have a little bit throat ache. Let me do COVID test. I think I have COVID. What COVID? Search. Hallelujah. You are not like a worldly person. You are not a nurse. You are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has been given to teach you all things. From where did it come? From where did it come? If there is a turbulence in the atmosphere, things are not going right in my family, around me, and I feel a wind that has come to shake me, I start to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me, Holy Spirit. And I speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. If I had a dream, I speak in tongues. Rosa, chaka, yala. Because I know the teacher can teach me about it. The teacher can teach me. Oh my God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will teach you all things. These are the things. Amen. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. If the demons are cause for the problem, you will start to see those demons. Hallelujah. If there is a sickness in your family, you pray, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. The realms will open and the Spirit of truth will come. Start to teach you. Start to open up. And then this demon's thought, we will continue to do our work because this person is busy going to the hospitals, going to the doctors, calling the pastors, calling members in the group to ask for prayer. This person is not going to see us, that we are doing it. But when you understand, the teacher will show you all things, will teach you all things, and the realms are open, and unexpectedly you enter the realms of the demons that brought the sickness. They are like, oh, he saw us. How many times it has happened? Can you see in the spirit? Can you see in the spirit? How many times it has happened that when I started to pray for a problem, I saw big snakes. I saw them in the realm of the spirit. And it was an unexpected entry that I had from the teacher. And they got, oh, we are exposed. I said, now I have seen you. You are the one causing the problem. I release the fire to torment you. Get out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He will teach you all things. These are the things he will teach you. Once I was praying, you know, when a witch or a wizard is in my vicinity, I come to know about it. When a witch or a wizard is attacking me, you know, there are so many witches and wizards that took my names to kill me. Because I was causing havoc. They came to know. They tried to kill. But when they are released, someone is doing that, I come to know about it. There is a kind of presence, there is a kind of anointing, a mantle that drops on me. And when that mantle comes, I know there is an attack. There is a witch, there is a wizard, there is witchcraft coming against me. And that's why the mantle came. So I come to know about it quickly. Even if the meeting, if anyone is in witchcraft, I come to know about that person. That person is in witchcraft. Hallelujah. I will not say publicly, but I come to know about that person. And I monitor that person in the realms of the spirit then. Because we don't know with what intentions they have come. Any witch, any wizard, I come to know. Do you know? Hallelujah. There are witches and wizards going and sitting in churches. And they have become regular member in the churches from 3 years. But no one is able to track them that they are witch. In the church, they are sitting there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not there. The pastor does not even know. The witch is bringing thousands of dollars to the church, giving to the offering box. But the pastor does not even know the money that she is bringing is through blood sacrifices. They cannot discern anything. Witches and wizards are sitting comfortably in the church like this and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, comfortably. Because the atmosphere in the church has become so comfortable for them. It makes them feel convenient because the fire is not there. The fire is not there. Amen. My friend messaged me on WhatsApp. And he asked me, Brother Rahul, you know, some pastor is teaching here that we should not call down fire. We should not do those fire things. Because when John and James wanted to call down fire, Jesus said, no, don't call down fire. It's a sin. So I told him, you know, you have to understand the context of the scripture. John and James wanted to call down fire to kill people, to kill human beings there, to kill the city people. So Jesus said, what are you doing? You don't have the wisdom to call down fire. So don't do that. The fire is actually to torment demons, to torment wickedness. And that scripture does not bring us to the conclusion that we should not use fire. We are the ministers of the of flames of fire. If you are not a fire, you cannot survive in this time. If you are not fire. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I was saying is, I know that when a witch or a wizard comes, there is a mantle that drops. In a specific way, I cannot explain. In a specific way, the mantle comes upon me and I know there is a witch. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I can locate that person. Even in this meeting, I can locate. But I don't want to do that now. I'm teaching you some things. Amen. And once that happened, I was fighting against a specific power that was a high demonic power manipulating the politics in the US. This was way before when I stepped into international ministry. I was not into international ministry, but I was an intercessor. And I cannot tell you things, political things against the president, manipulations in the White House, high demonic princes working. I saw that vision. As soon as I started to pray against that prince, as soon as I started to attack the army of the prince, oh my God, this mantle came upon me heavily. And after the mantle came upon me, right in my heel area of my leg, as if a snake bit me, I started to feel the sensation of a snake that bit me. Hallelujah. And the Lord told me, continue, don't stop. Continue praying. Nothing will happen. I said, okay, Lord. But the sensation like a snake has bitten in my heel, not physically, but I was feeling the sensation. And I finished prayer and the sensation did not go, as if the snake has bitten like this on my heel. I said, Lord, what is this? What is this, Lord? It's not going, Lord. So I prayed until I started in the morning. I prayed until afternoon. And then the Lord said to me after some hours, go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Read that verse. And I read that verse. It says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is God speaking to the serpent. What? The seed of the woman shall bruise your head. And then you shall bruise what? His heel. And the Lord told me the reason why he bruised your heel, because before that you bruised his head. Oh, hallelujah. So that was a repercussion of you getting the pain because, oh my God, hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, These are mysteries. We will think, oh, what is this pain in my leg? It's not going. But when you tap into a mystery, you will understand, because I bruised the demon's head, that this is what has happened. It's a repercussion of something I did in the kingdom of the demonic. And when that revelation came to me, the pain also left me. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. If there is someone doing witchcraft against you, if you know the Holy Spirit as a teacher, he will start to teach you. We will come to that. He will also show you. He will teach you by showing you. Oh my God. I don't know how I will cover these topics, but I am taking some time. He will teach you all things. He will teach you also by showing you things. Showing you things. That is parked for a later part of my sermon. How he will teach you, but what he will teach you, that is what I am teaching here. He taught me. If the Holy Spirit is with you, you cannot be killed by a witch. You cannot be killed by a wizard if you walk with the Holy Spirit, if you walk with him. Because he will continue to teach you and reveal to you all things. Those are the deep things of God. Amen. Are we understanding? What are the deep things of God? What are the deep things of God? The deep things of God actually are categorized in four parts. I have taught this, but let me go with the flow. The deep things of God are what are categorized in four parts. The first part is the mind of the Lord. Is the mind of the Lord. You know, I am going to teach you the mind of the Lord in detail when I come to the part of this series of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit ministering to the world. Then I will teach you the mind of the Lord in detail. But what is the mind of the Lord? What is the mind of the Lord? The mind of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is the mind of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is the perspective of the Lord, the way the Lord is looking at something. Remember the book of Jeremiah? Okay, let me take you to the book of Jeremiah, okay? Isaiah, Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. What did I say? The first thing in the mind of the Lord is the perspective of God, the way the Lord looks at things. See Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? So he asked, what do you see? What is your perspective? First tell me. So what did he say? And I said, I see a branch of almond tree. This is what he sees. This is what we can see through our perspective. So Jeremiah is seeing what? A branch of almond tree. But what does the Lord see? Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. So we see an almond. Listen to me. I am seeing a branch of almond tree. But the Lord looks beyond the branch of the almond tree. There is a revelation of the branch of the almond tree. There is a mystery hidden in what we are seeing physically. We interpret things by our flesh and by the small understanding, small brain that we have. People think that they are so wise with their small brains. You are not wise. You are a fool before God if you don't learn from the Holy Spirit. So that is the perspective of God. Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. As heavens are high above the earth, so are the ways of God above the ways of man. God has a perspective to look at things. God has a perspective. When the widow, you know, who lost her husband, came to Elisha, said, Elisha, you know, the people whom I owe the debt, the money, are going to come and take my sons because I'm not able to pay off the debt. Elisha, what to do? Elisha started to operate in the mind of the Lord. And the Lord located a jar of oil. He said, what do you have? She said, jar of oil. And the Lord said, that is what will pay off your debts. How can that happen? But the Lord is looking at it from a different perspective. The mind of the Lord. If you have the mind of the Lord, situations will not overtake you or overwhelm you. If you operate in that mind, that is what the Holy Spirit will teach you. That is what he will teach you. The mind of the Lord. The mind of the Lord. Amen. Are we understanding, people of God? God has a perspective. God has a way to look at everything. To look at everything. We look at a person and we say, oh, this is a wasted person. Lifeless person of no use. But God says, no, he is a prophet. He is an apostle. God looks at people like that. Yes, he looks at people like that. You look at your life. Oh no, you know, I am in sin. I am in bondage. I am not able to come out and this and that. But God is looking at you with a different perspective. Until you tap into the mind of God, you cannot understand what you are, who you are. Gideon was saying, oh, I am, you know, my tribe is the least in the tribes of Israel. Then my family is in the least in the families of the tribe. And then my family is least among all the families. And that I am the least in my family. But God said, what are you saying, child? You are a mighty man of valor. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, Gideon? Anyways, that was the effect of the demons of Baal and Ashtoreth, the idols and the altars in his house. That was the effect on his mind. He saw everything with manipulation. But the Lord has a mind through which we can see. There is a perspective of the Lord. That is what the Holy Spirit will teach. He will teach us. He will teach us all things. The first thing is the mind of the Lord. You know, I'm not going deep into the mind of the Lord because when we come to the part of the series where I will teach you about the Holy Spirit ministering to the world, I am going to cover that in detail. So I am not going deep into that. That is the first thing, the deep thing. The second deep thing are the burdens of God. The burdens of God. Stay with me. Listen to me very carefully now. Let's go to one of the verses and let me explain what does it mean to carry the burden of the Lord. That is the second thing the Holy Spirit will teach you. The burdens of God. Isaiah chapter number 50, verse number 4 to 6. Isaiah chapter number 50, 50, verse number 4 to 6. Now, listen to this verse very carefully. The Lord has given me. Now, understand, Isaiah is writing this scripture. And he is addressing these things to himself. He is saying, the Lord has given me. Isaiah is addressing this to himself. Okay. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to ear as the ear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. What is, do you know? Now you know who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. He's saying, I gave, but what he's saying, the language of the scripture, you have to be careful about understanding the language of scripture. He is not saying that the Messiah gave his back to be struck, and the Messiah gave, he's saying, I gave my back to those who struck me, then my cheeks to those, and my and to pluck out my beard, and I did not hide my face from shame and from spitting. He's talking about what the Messiah would do, but he's using a language, and he is telling, I gave my back. That means the burden of Jesus was given to him, and he started to feel, he started to experience what Jesus would go through, and he started to write the scripture. That is the burden. Oh, hallelujah. That is the burden of the Lord. The Bible says when Apostle Paul was waiting in Athens for his co-worker to come, that it was not his plan to preach the gospel there. He was just waiting there for the co-worker to come, and then they will move to the next place. But when he started to see the idols in Athens, the Bible says he was compelled to go in the temple and to tell them about Jesus. Listen to me. When you carry the burden of the Lord, you did not have a plan to do something there, but a burden suddenly came in you, and you started to feel the burden in you. I came here for a vacation, but I feel a burden to speak to that person. I feel a burden. That is the burden of the Lord. You will start to feel the burden of God's heart, what he is feeling in heaven, transferred to you by the teacher. Hallelujah. Remove your mute and say hallelujah, people of God. Amen. That is
hallelujah. Amen.
That is powerful. Imagine what the Lord is feeling, what the Lord is carrying in his heart, the burden you are carrying in the same burden. The reason why Moses was able to say to God, God, you know, you saved this people, even though they have sinned, you know, but you brought them out, you saved this people, but you blot out my name from the book of life. He could pray and intercede like that because the burden of Jesus, that is what Jesus was going to do, give his own life for the sins of people. And that was the burden transferred by the teacher in his heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Moved by compassion. That is also akazo, the compelling force of the Holy Spirit. The burden. Your Isaiah is saying, you know, he's not writing the scripture by going to a theological college. He's writing the scripture by learning from the teacher, the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I gave my back to those people to strike me, and I gave my cheeks and my beard to be plucked out. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So one of the way this teacher will teach you is by leading you I will come to that at a later part. Let me not confuse you. But let me concentrate on the burden. What the Lord feels exactly, that will be transferred in your heart. Do you know what is a prophecy for a nation? The prophecy for a nation is a burden in the Lord, that the Lord is a burden in the heart of the Lord, that the Lord carries for that very nation. Let me take you to some verses, few verses. Isaiah chapter number 15. Isaiah chapter number 15. Yeah. Verse number 1. What it says? 15:1. The burden against Moab. This is prophecy that Isaiah is writing. But he says the burden against Moab. So the prophecy is a burden. Prophecies are burden. The Lord carries for the nations. This is my burden. This is the word I want to release. And that comes in the spirits of his prophets, in the mouth of his prophets as prophecies towards the nation. It's like burdens. Then let me give you some more verses. Isaiah 17, verse number 1. It says the burden against Damascus. Then Isaiah chapter number 19, verse 1. The burden against Egypt. So prophecies are burdens. Hallelujah. Prophecy is not just, oh, I am feeling it. It comes as a hit in a prophet's heart. A burden is been transferred by the teacher in this person's heart. Hallelujah. That is how the healing anointing works. I know how the healing anointing works. I know that. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit taught me about that. And then I understood the things that great healing ministers like Benny Hinn do in their meetings. I understood why, how they operate, because the Lord started to teach me about the healing anointing and I started to experience it. The healing anointing only works when the burden of the Lord is been brought by the Holy Spirit in your heart for that very person who is sick. And when you see that person, you don't know, your heart gets to filled with compassion, 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 because there is a burden that the Lord has. He is making his burden to be transferred and to be shown forth and manifest through your heart. And you look at that person, you have that burden. Actually, you are not having that compassion. The Lord is having compassion for that person. That's why you are having compassion, because that compassion, that burden for that person is transferred by the Lord in your heart. And in that compassion, when you go and lay hand, or when you go and pray for the person will be healed. The Bible says when he saw all the sick and sick people oppressed by the devil, Jesus was moved with compassion. What was that? The teacher giving the burden for the people. Are we understanding? Amen. Once I went to minister in a village, in a very remote village, and I was, you know, they don't even understand the language. I did not have a translator. You know, they offered me no help, but I said, I have the Holy Spirit. So I started to teach there, trying to use that. I little bit knew the language. So I was preaching there. When I was preaching there, you know, we have this auto rickshaws in India. So an auto rickshaw came from behind and they brought a woman on a wheelchair there from there. So I was preaching. So I heard the noise. There was a lot of disturbance and all those things. But I saw behind and I saw they were bringing the lady on the wheelchair. So I don't stop my preaching in between. But when I saw her like that and when I looked at her face, the burden of the Lord, the compassion of God came inside of me. So I stopped everything that I was doing. I said, bring her here. And she had a lot of problems. She was not able to eat. Whatever she eats, she vomits out. She could not walk. The oxygen levels were low. The pressure was high. And all sorts of problems that you can name was there in her body. Hallelujah. But when I looked at her, I had compassion. I had pity on her. And I knew it was the compassion of the Lord. And I went to her and I just prayed for 2 minutes. And there they brought all the oxygen meter, what not they brought, the equipments they brought, I did not know. So after I prayed, they checked everything. The oxygen levels were normal. Everything went normal. And then she started to eat and then she never vomited. The burden of the Lord healed her. The compassion of the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who wanted to heal that person. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is the burden of God. That is what He will teach us. He will teach us to carry the burden of God. That you don't feel, you know, many of us have the compassion through our flesh. But if we don't crucify our flesh, the Holy Spirit will not be able to teach us the burdens of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will not be able to put in us the prophecies, the burdens for the nations that the Lord has in His heart. Are we understanding? Amen. Are we understanding? You know, in the book of Kings, I think it's in the context of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. The prophet came and said, you know, you love the people whom God loves and hate the people whom God hates. But we in our flesh want to love everyone. No. Jesus loves everyone. Yeah, Jesus loved everyone. That's why He died for everyone. But He does not approve of everything. Amen. He has burdens towards people. He has a perspective to look at people. Amen. Are we understanding? And when we have the heart of the Lord, we will behave in the same way the Lord would behave with those people. Amen. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Okay, the burdens of the Lord. That is the second thing. The third thing that the Holy Spirit will teach you. These are the all things that He will teach you. The third thing He will teach you is the purpose of your life. I'm not talking about the worldly purpose of your life. I'm talking about the heavenly purpose of your life. He will teach you the purpose of your life. Let's go to 1 John. It's the predestined plan of God of your life. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 27. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. It says, it is not required that anyone teach you. Does it mean that no one will teach you the Bible? It is not talking about that aspect of teaching. It is talking about a specific aspect of teaching only which the anointing can teach you. And that aspect of teaching is your destiny, is the purpose and the calling, the destiny that God has for your life. Only the Holy Spirit, He can teach you. Only He can teach you, because the Holy Spirit has a scroll with Him. What? A scroll. And in that scroll, there is something written. And what is written in that scroll is how, as per the Father, you have to live your life. It's all written in that scroll. It's all written in that scroll. You know, when Jesus came and He started His ministry, He started His ministry by announcing His ministry from a scroll. You remember that? Okay. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 17. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed, this is Isaiah, chapter number, I think, 61. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus was living His life as per a scroll. There is a scroll that the Holy Spirit has in His hand. And that scroll has the content of your life. That as per heaven, as per God, how you are supposed to live this life. That is the anointing that he will teach you, everything that is written in the scroll, how you are supposed to go about. There are things written in this scroll, the Bible, that is in connection with your destiny. Have you discovered it? Have you discovered it? There are things written in this scroll that are in connection with your calling. Have you discovered it? I started to discover it. And when I started to discover it, the wonderful thing the Holy Spirit will do is, when I speak to people, they would confirm it to me. I was praying for a couple. They are not in ministry, but you know, they are in contact with me from India. And I was praying for them. I was praying for the wife. I prayed for the husband. He came from work and I prayed for them. And this person is a God-fearing man. He goes to work. He earns his living. He's a God-fearing man. You know, he's not a servant of God, but he is a good Christian, has a good faith. And after I prayed for both of them, that person said to me, "Brother, you know what? The Lord just told me something about you." I said, "What?" "The Lord told me you are Jeremiah, the prophet, the crying one." I said, "Praise God. I know that you are speaking from God, because I already, the teacher taught me the scroll of my life. I know that. The teacher taught me this already." Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. One of the area of my calling, the teacher taught me. Amen. Hallelujah. And verse number, Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 9. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Hallelujah. I remember the days where the Lord started to touch my mouth. And I went through torment. I'm telling you. I went through torment in my flesh. Weird things used to happen on my body. Weird things. Like kind of itching and redness. And I did not know. And I felt this sensation whenever I used to go to sleep. My mouth used to burn with fire. As if someone is pulling my teeth. Someone is literally pulling my teeth. Burning with fire. Burning with fire. Burning with fire. I came to know that the Lord was sanctifying my mouth to be a mouthpiece to the nations of the earth. He was making me a voice. What? Not to make people comfortable in the church. No, 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 no. That is not what I am called for. To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to over, hallelujah, to throw down, to build and to plant. That is the words. That is the effect of the words I speak. I know that. Amen. Because the teacher taught me. The teacher, the anointing taught me the scroll of my life. And many things he taught me. Many things he taught me that I cannot even disclose now. But he continues to teach me. I have to continue to go to him, stay with him in isolation so that he can teach me the scroll. The scroll of my life. The scroll of my life. This is the third thing that the Holy Spirit will teach you. Have you discovered the purpose of God in your life? Or are you still trying to follow some servant of God? This is the problem in the Christendom nowadays. People are going around finding some mentors, finding some spiritual fathers. The spiritual father cannot lead you in the destiny that God has for you. He can give you a word. That's it. Oh my God. You know, the teacher taught me about the scroll. And once, you know, what a servant of God can do is, he can give you direction. And even to understand the direction, you need the teacher to understand it. Let me give you an example. In 2018 or 2019, I was living in North India. I went to North India for some ministry, and I was living with a prophet. And that prophet told me, let me take you to my senior pastor. He is also a prophet. So I will ask my senior pastor to pray for you. I said, okay, let's go. And then we went. He was a senior pastor. He's a, well advanced, well experienced in ministry from many years. And then he prayed for me there. That pastor prayed for me. He was a prophet. And then he started to prophesy over my life several things. He started to talk about that I will have a miracle ministry. There is power anointing in praise and worship that I do, and all those things he started to say. And one of the things he said to me that I was not able to interpret, how should I go about that prophecy? One of the things he said to me, your ministry will start. That time I did not have my own ministry. I was traveling with people to do ministry. And he said, your ministry will start from the mountaintop. And there, your ministry will start from a Bible college on the mountaintop. There is a Bible college I see on the mountaintop. From there, the ministry will start. After I heard that, those words convicted me. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, should I go to the Himalayas of India to go there? Because I used to see these mountains in my dream and all those things. So I was comprehending, but I never came to the knowledge of what the prophecy meant. I was pondering that maybe I should go on the mountaintop and minister or with the tribal people. There I will open a college for them or something like that. I was pondering, but I could not relate and could not come to the conviction of the reality of the prophecy that he gave, that man of God gave. So I parked it, I left it like that. 2019 passed by, 2020 passed by, 2021 passed by, 2022. The Lord opened doors for me for international ministry. That is when we started this Zoom meeting. 2022. And after 2022, I constantly started to go to the hotel rooms to seek the Holy Spirit, to seek the Lord. So on the second visit that I went for a few days and I was praying, seeking the Lord, waiting. On the second day, the Lord entered my room. He entered my room. And when he enters my room, that I know he entered. Because when the king comes, the atmosphere changes. Everything around you changes. He entered my room. And I told you that the Lord does not speak so many things to justify himself, to ex he is not there to give explanation. He will just say what he wants to say and leave. So he came and said, Rahul, do you remember the prophecy my servant did? Until that time, I forgot which servant, what prophecy, because so many people prophesied and all those things. But he came and told me, Rahul, did you remember the prophecy that my servant did for you? I said, which? And the Holy Spirit was by my side. So the Holy Spirit told me he's talking about the senior pastor from Delhi. As soon as the Holy Spirit gave me direction, I came to know that the Lord is talking about the mountain prophecy. I said, yes, Lord. And he said, that is what you are doing now. And he left. That is what I am doing now. Do you mean this Zoom meeting that I am doing is the prophecy that he did? But that means the Lord was speaking to me about a spiritual mountain on the top, the hill of the Lord, which is exalted above all the mountains. And on the top, the house of the Lord shall be established, and the nations shall start flowing to it. I understood and I shouted, Hallelujah! This is what it means. It took 3 years. People of God, are you there with me? Are you understanding? It took 3 years for me to come to the understanding of that very prophecy. 3 years. Then I understood this is a mountaintop where I'm training. This is the school and the college of the Spirit where I'm training the army of God. And then I started to understand a little bit of the scroll that the Holy Spirit has for me. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. If you don't understand the Holy Spirit, you will walk in a direction which is not yours. It is impossible to walk in the ways of God without the teacher. You need the teacher with you. You need the teacher to teach you. Amen. What I am doing is not my own will. It's the will of God for me. The things I speak, it's the will, it's God putting his words. The Holy Spirit, he is the teacher. Many people are doing, they are ministering, they are going to villages, they are doing crusades, But that is not the will of God. Maybe they are getting appreciation, they are getting more meetings, but sometimes, you know what? It's the devil who is pushing you ahead so that more and more you can get detracted from what actually the scroll has for you. The scroll has for you. The Lord loves me so much that He never put me on big stages until now because He wants me to stick to the scroll. And I'm satisfied. I will walk as per the scroll. I will go as per the scroll. Jesus had a scroll as per which he was ministering. Exactly. It was written about him. There are things that in this Bible which are written about you. After I understood the mountaintop, then I preached the sermon long time back. I don't know if you guys remember or not, about the house of the Lord on the mountaintop. No, I preached that sermon from Micah, from the book of Micah, from the book of Isaiah, where it talks, because I understood these things that I teach you. I'm telling you, it's not theory. The Holy Spirit taught me. The teacher taught me. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. You know, one thing that I want to tell you, from all over the world, from all over the nations, there are so many people's destinies that are connected to the things that I am saying. Yes. You are here because your destiny is connected to the things that I am teaching you. That's why God brought you here. And there are so many others. Their destiny, their life is connected to the things that the Lord is bringing through my mouth. When you. Oh God, when you understand your destiny, when you understand the scroll of your life, when this teacher teaches you the scroll of your life, you will understand that there are so many other people whose destinies are connected to your calling. And because you have not obeyed the voice of God, still they are not in line with God. Because Amen. Because you are that Gideon threshing in the threshing floor, who is supposed to bring the army of 300 together, and you are here threshing at the threshing floor. And the 300 people who are supposed to be the army of God are lost in their own work. I am telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you and raise you high from your situation, from the things that you are doing, to the things of God. So that those people whom God has chosen you to be a deliverer for them, amen, hallelujah, will start to connect to the destiny. You know, Moses was wandering here and there, going to Midian and all those things, because of which the people of Israel suffered, because the calling of Moses was connected to the destinies of the people of Israel. And at last, God encountered him in the burning bush and sent him. And he said, "No, Lord, I will not go." But God got angry at Moses. Said, "You have to go, Moses. If you don't go, how will I deliver these people? Unless you obey your calling, your obedience to the calling, to the scroll, is connected to the destinies of many people. Many, do you know so many people are in Egypt? So many people are in slavery because you are not obeying the call of God. You are not obeying the written scroll of God in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you." Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Amen. Remember, we are interpreting the scripture, John chapter number 14, verse 26. The helper, he will teach you all things. We are still on that. The all things I told you, first thing is the mind of the Lord. Second thing is burdens of God. Third thing is this scroll, the predestined plan, the destiny that God has for you, that He will teach you. These are the all things. The fourth thing He will teach you is the revelations and the mysteries hidden in this word of God. That is what He will teach you. Because my dear friends, your destiny is connected with this Bible. Your destiny is connected with the words in the Bible. And if you don't understand the Bible, you cannot walk in God's path. And what he will teach you the Bible. Amen. Amen. Do you know, the teacher has warned me and instructed me not to read any other book but the Bible. I started to read another book because I used to read books, autobiographies of servants of God and all those things. But the teacher told me, it's not for you to read those books, only read the Bible. So I only read my Bible. I only continue to read my Bible, chew the words. Digest the word, feed on the word, feed on the word, feed on the word. Because one of the things the Lord told me is that you will teach the Bible, and I read the Bible, read the Bible. I cannot teach people until the Holy Spirit teaches me, until I have a word from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I have to wait on Him. If I have to take a meeting like this, I have to wait on Him till He gives me, till He teaches me the word of God. That's how helplessly dependent I am on the teacher. Until you have a helpless, that kind of dependence on this teacher, you will not be able to learn the Bible. Humble yourself. One of the things that will happen to your flesh is when you start to receive revelations from God, you will puff up. I am telling you, you will puff up. Every sermon that I teach, and every revelation I get, I go back to the Holy Spirit and tell, teacher, I know it's not my job, it's not my work. You taught me this thing. I humble myself to receive more grace that you will continue to teach me, continue to teach me, continue to teach me. That's why none of my sermons are repeated. I'm preaching so many sermons every week, 5 to 6 sermons come on. None of my sermons are repeated. Why? Not because I am intelligent, because the teacher teaches me every week. Hallelujah. He teaches me the word. Teaches me the word. Teaches me the word. When I started to receive the revelation in the beginning, I thought, oh, this is the best revelation. But the Holy Spirit taught me, never say that, never say that. When you say that, it will end. There is a sea full of revelations. You have not even went into that. Son, you have not even gone there. And you are saying this is the best one. Sometimes I think, oh, I have preached so many good revelation, I think it will finish off. No, it will never finish off. There are so many things that He will continue to teach you till you are there on the earth. And every time He teaches you, it will be fresh. That's why my teachings are fresh. It is never repetition, it is never the stale manna, it is fresh manna. Why? Because the teacher teaches me. The teacher teaches me. Without Him, I could not teach. I am not a professional teacher. I am not even a graduate to teach. It is by the grace of this Holy Spirit that I am able to do what I am able to do. And you can do that also if you understand this teacher, if you learn from the feet of this teacher who can teach you the Bible, who can teach you the Bible. You know, from a long time I shut off my ears to listening to other preachers because the Holy Spirit told me, I want you to only read the Bible and hear from me, hear from me. Hallelujah. So my teachings are not impacted by the influence and perspective of other preachers. What I'm teaching is purely coming from Him. That is what I make sure. You will not find it on Google. He will teach you fresh things. Hallelujah. That is the will of God for you. Amen. I am teaching you, I am leading you, but you need to connect to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach you the revelation of the Word of God. Okay, I think it's enough now. It's enough for tonight. We will pray. We will pray. Hallelujah. People of God, come on screen. We will pray. So, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the first thing that He will do, the first help that He will offer to you, is that He will teach you all things. And under the all things comes the deep things. Those are the deep things of God, mind of God, burdens of God, the destiny of God, and the doctrine of the word, that is the revelation of the word of God. Okay? And then we will, on Sunday night, we will move ahead with the other helps that the Spirit of truth will offer. There are more 5 things that He will offer to you, the Spirit of truth that is pending. This is the only first thing I covered. So let us see how we will go ahead on Sunday night. So let's pray. Let's pray. People of God, what I pray for you, just pray with me. What I want to pray for you is that you discover the Holy Spirit as your teacher. Yes, discover the Holy Spirit as your teacher. Just learn. He is your teacher, you know. I come after him, but he is your teacher. He is your first teacher. He will teach you all things. If you understand the mind of the Lord, you will overcome every situation. If you understand the burden of God, God's power will work through you. Hallelujah. If you understand the written scroll of that God has for you, you will be the righteous of God, because the one who walks in the scroll of God, in the path of God, is the righteous of God. You will be protected by God. I want to make a trumpet call as a watchman here, to the believers here, to the brothers and sisters here. Stop doing what you are doing and go in the secret place and see God to understand the written scroll he has for you. Stop ministry. I am telling you, go to the secret place. Stop doing the activities you are doing. Go to the secret place to learn from the teacher, the scroll of your life. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your days. Whatever things and days you have wasted are wasted. But now is the time. The Holy Spirit is calling you to the secret place to teach you the things that he has for you. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit will teach you the Bible, because our destiny is connected to the Word. Oh my God. Hallelujah. To know God more and more, to know His ways more and more. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will teach. Lord, I am just your servant who has directed people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will take over their lives and teach them. We'll take over their lives and teach them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Razokota ramala tiam pralanta ravantrovo se tiandravala setedavandriandrovo. I see a vision. I see a vision. The Holy Spirit, He is showing me a vision. And in the vision, I see a man or a boy. I don't know. It's a male sitting on a chair with the headphones like this. And he is in front of a system of a computer or a laptop. And I see demonic powers coming and a black snake, a black shadow coming and on his head and covering his head and going through like on the body. And then I see a weird being which has three horns like that behind the person. Whoever that person is, being influenced by the power of darkness, that demon, that darkness and that weird demon, I command it to leave now in Jesus' name. I command that being, I command that demon, I command that presence to leave that person right now. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Re shoko farita vala drofon se fanto masanto yabaraba sokrobo. Come on, people of God, start to pray. Start to pray. Re pranto ko si yabaraba. Lezo foto ravansi nemando korfeti al ferende. Melendian Zafira Vanjera Vandorosia. If you want to interpret the things that I am speaking now and praying, you need to get connected with the teacher now. Re Sike Ria Farita. Mentoyo Furizantiam Frandara Van Sokro Babari. Revanjo Vrovo Ravara Vanzorobo. That is Lahazia. I pray for a pastor whose ministry is upside down right now. In Jesus' mighty name, every demonic wind and storms in his life, I command it to be still now in Jesus' name. Lord, let your hand pick him up from the miry clay and place him on the rock to stand. In Jesus' name, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Reish po ramamamanto mareketiyala. Raivrial taraba. Every altars that are holding people tied to the altars, their legs, their hands and their heads, I break the holds right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name, I break the holds. Mayanto rozafa takarabando. Ranger of Otari zafa takarabolia. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit, manifest thyself to us, manifest thyself to your people, O God, hallelujah. Revive them, O Lord, in Jesus' name. O Lord, I pray, let it not happen that, Lord, that people are revived on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I see when people come back again, they come back the same because they are drained out again during the weekdays. Be careful what you are doing in your personal life. Don't let things that you do and that you associate with to shut off your fire. Oh, hallelujah. Maintain the fire. I pray that when people will come in this meeting, I can see fire in people. I can see the hunger in people. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Every words of the enemy upon your heads, upon your destiny, be taken off now. Be taken off now in Jesus' name. Be taken off now in Jesus' name. Let the word, let the scroll of God manifest in your life through the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we want to give you thanks. Thank you for this time. Lord, the further meetings also be given to your hands. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for all the families here, even tomorrow, the prayer meeting, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit, that you will help us to intercede, Lord. Hallelujah. That you will be with your people, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we say, Amen. Hallelujah.